On this episode, we'll dive into five tax strategies for W-2 employees. We'll go into how you can utilize tax perks at your office, which tax strategy that we'll go over is highly predatory, and I'll go over all the cautionary tales. And then at the end, we'll talk about why you need to use one of these tax strategies with more of an investment mindset rather than just trying to get the tax strategy and risk the purchase being neglected. So as always, if this episode helps you or brings you value, please do me a favor, share it with a friend. Thank you and enjoy the show. Welcome to Build Your Wealth Muscle, a podcast dedicated to helping fitness entrepreneurs build wealth by saving taxes and growing their money. Each episode will break down different strategies in the areas of business, tax, and retirement planning specifically for your coaching business. Disclaimer, the topics covered in this podcast are for educational purposes only. This is not advice for your specific situation. Please consult a qualified financial or tax professional before making any changes to your financial or tax situation. Now here's your host, certified financial planner and tax advisor, Pat Darby. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Build Your Wealth Muscle. I want to thank everyone for listening. We're getting pretty close to our 100th episode. This is episode 97. So today I want to get a deep dive into the strategies that are available for W-2 employees. Maybe this is your spouse, maybe it's your kids, because we spent obviously a lot of time talking about what's available for business owners, because under the Trump tax code, it unlocked a lot of business tax deductions. And when I say business, that also includes the real estate business owner, like the rental real estate. So what often gets left behind is what's available for the W-2 employee. Now, candidly, there's really not that much that is for you as a W-2 employee. A lot of those perks did get pulled out of the tax code to incentivize people to more or less take control of their own destiny, as well as spur the economy by offering jobs and things like that. So let's go into five today that are hopefully going to be helpful to you or someone in your family. The first one is the health savings account, because there's no income limit. All you need, like whether you're a business owner or a W-2 employee, all you need to have is a health insurance plan that is eligible for the HSA, which is a health savings account. So you can look on your health card and see if you're eligible, because the challenge I have with these in general is the deductible limit that is often popular isn't necessarily applicable, because I've seen back when I was living in New Jersey and doing this more often, there were some plans that were high deductible but weren't actually eligible for HSA because the IRS, for one reason or another, did not give them the eligibility. In the one particular case, it was because there were so many perks in this particular plan. Like I think there was like free virtual nursing and a few other things. So the IRS said, no, this doesn't, in our opinion, this doesn't count as HSA. So it had all the cost of an HSA, but it wasn't actually eligible for the account. But if you're an employee, this is a tax deduction for you. Put the money in. You don't have to have the expenses. For an individual in 2023, you can put in just under $3,900. It's $3,850. And as a family, you could put just under $7,800. It's $7,750. Now, that's a tax deduction for you. You don't need to itemize for this. That's the other thing that's important. And I probably should mention this in the very beginning. Part of the reason that a lot of things disappeared for the W-2 employee is because a lot of things like your charitable deduction, medical expenses, your state and local taxes, your mortgage interest, all of those are inside of like where you itemize. But because the standard deduction, which we all get access to, basically doubled in size, most people can save more in taxes by not itemizing, which basically means all of those things you've done, like if you've donated thousands to charity, you've met thousands in medical, it could easily, the way the numbers are computed, come out to be more favorable for you to take the standard deduction, which is the case. I think right now, 85, 90% of the country, I think it's closer to 85%, is taking the same deduction. It's better for them than itemizing. This HSA is not an itemized deduction. You're going to take it right off the top there, which is nice. So that's, again, not everyone's going to want to do this, but if you're talk to your health provider, but it's a very nice opportunity for someone who is healthy and not using the doctors very often to take this right off. Now, here's a secret benefit to this that doesn't get talked about often. You can treat your HSA like an additional retirement account for you, because you're going to put in, let's say hypothetically a single person, you're going to put in your $3,900 a year, the $3,850, and that's going to go up each year with, because it's pegged to the inflation. So a lot of these contribution numbers are going to go up each year. But if you're not using that money, let's say you have $1,000 worth of medical expenses, like maybe that's a couple doctor's appointments, buying your contact solution. It can be pretty simple stuff like buying new contacts, whatever. You don't need to pull that money out right away. So you can put your $3,900 in, and then wait decades until you're in retirement, pull out whatever is an expense that you did. So that's all tax-free. And the rest has been invested. So you can invest it in the stock market, in real estate, whatever you want. This HSA account could be treated similar to an IRA. Now you're in retirement, this can start paying your Medicare premiums. So don't just think of this like, oh, like it's like those FSAs, those flexible spending accounts I've always heard about, that it's use it or lose it. This is the opposite. It's yours forever. And if you die, it goes to your beneficiaries. It goes to your beneficiaries similar to the way a traditional IRA would go to a beneficiary. So These are, in my opinion, very underutilized. But more importantly, there's no income limit. You could be an employee. You can take advantage of this write-off. Number two, the 401k. If you're at a company that offers a 401k, the match is something that you should be maximizing. And the reason is because that's basically free money. So if you're making 100 grand a year and your employer is offering you a 4% match, that $4,000 is free money. So you put your four in, they put four, you have 100% return on your money right now. And it's up to you to decide how you want to do that. That can be your contributions that put the money in. They could be pre-tax, which would be a write-off, or they could be post-tax, which would not be a write-off, but now you have the money in tax-free to grow. Or sorry, I should grow tax-free and comes out tax-free if you put them in using the Roth side. Now, what's cool is with the match starting in 2023, now you can choose post-tax. Now, I'll caution you, a lot of employers and even a lot of tax professionals, because there's been not a lot of guidance yet, aren't really sure how that works, like where they need to put that on the tax form so that the employer still gets the deduction, but you get the money post-tax. So obviously, it's going to be included in your salary. But utilizing the 401k is a great strategy for employees, especially because if down the road you decide to either retire early or switch to a business owner, you can start rolling those 401ks into like the solo 401ks that we talked about last week, episode 96. So that was the 401k. Again, it's free money if your employer is offering you the ability to put the money in, or sorry, a match. Now, number three is similar to number two in that Roth conversions. If you have money inside of your 401k, maybe you've left and now you're moving to the post-tax account, either you left your company or your company offers you the Roth side, you want to take advantage of the different opportunities that are going to come your way as an employee. So what do I mean by that? Like, you could have your 401k and maybe the stock market's having a bad year, assuming it's in the stock market. Moving some of those dollars from pre-tax to post-tax when the market's not doing well is favorable for you. Now, let's pretend it was in IRAs. Maybe you have a big traditional IRA from an old employer that used to be a 401k. Same thing. Maybe the stock market's not doing well. You can start moving those dollars in. If you've got $1 million IRA, and the market's down 20%, now it's worth 800. Now, just for hypothetical purposes, let's say you move the whole 800,000 the same year. I'm not recommending that. You could do this a little bit at a time. But if you did, in that hypothetical scenario, you just avoided taxes legally on a $200,000 that it dipped. And then it can recover inside of the Roth IRA, if that's what you did in that conversion. And now you've avoided paying taxes on that differential of when the market was down. So that's something you should always be thinking about. And again, there's other opportunities, like you might have some rental real estate that you're taking losses on. Maybe you sold a property and you've unlocked a bunch of losses. And so now, if you're like, well, I'm about to take a $100,000 tax deduction, maybe your tax advisor would say, well, as an employee, maybe this is the year you do a $100,000 Roth conversion. So it nets it out for you. You stay in the bracket you're used to. But this is something that needs to be considered, because the challenge I think people run into is they're sold that in retirement, you're going to have the lowest income bracket of your life, which for some people is true. But for most people listening, that's not the goal. You want to make sure your assets are building and you want to be making a lot of money in retirement, not necessarily most of us relying on Social Security, because we're hoping that's just bonus. But the other advantage of these Roth conversions are when you do, like, time is always the enemy of like building wealth. And so, or I guess your asset, depending on the length, but you don't necessarily like to have a time pressure. And when you're in a traditional IRA or a regular 401k, there are required distributions depending on your age. So right now, I believe it goes up to 75. For younger people listening, that's when you should anticipate it. Whereas on the Roth side, there are none. You could hold that money in there till the day you die. And then it goes to your beneficiaries and they have 10 more years after that. So the next one is very similar. It's the cash value life insurance. I think these are a great strategy when used properly. And you'll see on my social media, I tend to bash these. And that's mostly because not the investment itself, but more the majority of people that are going to present these to you aren't an expert in the comprehensive financial planning. And I don't think I'm phrasing that properly, but I'm trying to pick my words carefully, because the challenge I think we face is, one, they pay very well to the person selling it to you. And two, it's very easy for someone to build an argument that these are great for you, and they haven't looked at the entire picture of your life. Like, can you afford the premiums for the next 5, 10 years or longer? What happens if you need the money sooner? What happens if, for a number of reasons, like, it just, it may not be a fit for you, because often the person looking at it is just sizing you up to see if you can qualify for it and all the perks, not necessarily looking at some of the other aspects of your life. So I even talked about this last week, to use an example more in the world of things I talk about, like the solo 401k. If you aren't able to contribute as much to max out your regular traditional IRA or Roth IRA, don't step up to the 401k, because the contributions are way higher, which is a good thing if you're ready for it. But typically the costs are higher too. So that's similar with cash value life insurance. I think it has a very valuable role, but be careful, because there's a lot of sharks that are going to sell those. There's a lot of people that I know that I'll refer you to that are not sharks, and they are thoroughly knowledgeable on what to do and how to do it and how to be safe with it. And those are the people I think you should be working with. But in general, the advantage of cash value life insurance is that you can put the money in that you've already paid your taxes on. Like, you got your salary, now you have money. And again, for your W-2 employee, there's only so much you can, if you're a very highly compensated W-2 employee, there's only so much you can do with the 401k. Even if you completely max it out, then what? Now, cash value life insurance could be your next place, because that money will go in after tax and grow tax-free. And depending on what you do, you could borrow from it and pull the money out cash-free. And then there's a death benefit. There's a lot of bells and whistles. And again, it's a very complicated subject. And I don't claim to be an expert in cash value, because it's its own subsector of finance. I just like to work with people that are willing to vet your entire financial life, or consult with people like me who are going to vet your entire financial life to say, hey, is this the right move? And if it is, let's do it. But so that's why I did want to say, like, this is a great opportunity if you're somebody who wants, you've already paid the taxes, now you want to put it somewhere so you don't pay the taxes again. This is another bucket for you as a W-2 employee. And the last one we'll go into today is short-term rental real estate. So you might hear about this a lot, depending on like because it's popular on social media, like the short-term rental loophole. Basically, what this means is if you get a property and you make it available for short-term rentals, meaning someone stays there less than 7 days. Now, there's a lot of rules to this, so I'm just giving you the basics to let you know about it. But if they stay there less than 7 days, you can write off the depreciation of that property against your W-2 income. Now, the reason that's so cool is because typically that's not available to someone who has a W-2 job. Here's a perfect example. Donald Trump. Everyone made a big deal out of his 2015 tax return because he didn't pay taxes because he wiped out all of his income with what? The big D, depreciation. Now, you had Hillary flipping out about it, and Donald Trump said, he was like, I do it because I'm smart, and you won't change it because your donors love this too. When you are what Donald Trump used to be, which is called a real estate professional, meaning you're in the business of real estate, that's all you do, you get disqualified from this if you have a quote unquote a day job. So when you don't have a day job and your full-time job is real estate, which his was in 2015, he was able to wipe out all his W-2 income and all his other income with depreciation. 2016, he was ineligible because he had a job. He was a president. So that's the challenge. If you're listening to this and you're a high earner for the tech sector or a doctor or whatever the case may be, or maybe this is your spouse, or you're even as a business owner, you are not eligible for the real estate tax professional status. So even if you have all these long-term rental properties, you can't write off any of those depreciation losses against your salary. Enter this loophole for short-term. If your property qualifies as having less than 7 days, and then there's another one about substantial services, so you can't act like a hotel, you got to act like a normal Airbnb and things like that. And again, I'm not going to dive deep into it, but you're able to do what's essentially a cost segregation. You add up a bunch of the features inside of the house that are not the house itself, like the appliances, maybe some countertops, things like that, and start wiping out your W-2 income with that. Now, the challenge I'll just push back on and is not related to the strategy. It's related to the popularity of the strategy. So I want you to be listening to this saying, oh, that's cool. But in my opinion, the challenge we're going to run into, not from my podcast per se, but just in general, is people running out wanting to do this without any concern for the property they're buying. It's like, this isn't a good tax strategy if you buy something that makes no money and then you end up selling it at a loss. So like the investment itself needs to make sense. Don't just buy a tax strategy. So that's all I wanted to say on that, because the short-term rental loophole, and unfortunately, it is just that. A lot of tax professionals worry this is going to go away soon, only because it's like when this rule was invented, there was no such thing as Airbnb. They're using like a 1970 bed and breakfast tax code. And a lot of people are taking advantage of it, which is great as a tax advisor. But a lot of people worry that Congress is probably not loving this and they'll probably shut this loophole down. But for the time being, if you're going to implement this one, get with a tax advisor, because there's a lot more to consider than what I just said. And I could do a whole podcast on that strategy, but it's a great one for anyone with a W-2, even regular business owners. That depreciation unlocks a lot of losses for people that are not typically available unless you're a real estate professional. Again, you don't need to be for this particular loophole. So those are the five. I'll just quickly recap them for you. Get an HSA plan, health savings account, and then I recommend maxing it out. At your day job, if they offer a 401k match, make sure you're maxing that out. Decide with your tax advisor whether you should do that pre-tax or post-tax, but utilize your 401k, get that free money. And again, you can put the money in pre-tax on your end and lower your taxes. Roth conversions. Take advantage of the fact that maybe you're paid less. If you're in sales, maybe you make commissions and maybe you're having a down year. Maybe this is the year you do a conversion because your tax bracket's lower. Again, strategically throughout the course of your employment, you might have bonuses, you might be laid off a period of time. taking advantage of the ebbs and flows of your income through Roth conversions is going to be very valuable. Number four, cash value life insurance. Again, it's a great tool, highly predatory space. So if you're going to pull that trigger and do it, I recommend you talk to more than one person, get multiple opinions. And again, try to do your best to sniff out how knowledgeable they are and that they're not just chasing their own commission. And then lastly, the short-term rental real estate loophole. So in general, I started this podcast out saying like the reason we're talking about this is because the Trump tax code made things pretty nice for business owners and took some things away from the W-2 employee. But the one thing that I'll leave with is that I highly encourage you to not, because I say I have friends like this, and anytime I try to talk to them about this stuff, they're like, oh, I'm not a business owner. And they just close the mental door to business owner means entrepreneur. And that's not true. Like, for example, if you drive Uber a little bit, in the eyes of the IRS, you are a business owner. And you could easily do certain things like that. Like, I even have clients that they're not looking to be full-time fitness trainers, but I try to encourage them, like, you're in great shape. People are already coming to you trying to get advice. What if you started charging them? What if you made 10 grand a year, 20 grand a year, something very little on the side, because obviously you have other things that you're doing, maybe your W-2, whatever the case may be. But again, at least in my circle, I've run into a lot of people who are that like are on the, they compete with fitness, but they don't necessarily have a career in fitness, financially speaking. But people are always asking them for advice because they look great and they know what they're doing. In that case, and again, this could be you in some other area of your life or the Uber thing. If you're just trying to make like 10, 20 grand, for the most part, if you listen to my podcast, listen to anyone's podcast that's always talking about business owner tax strategies or business tax strategies, I should say, it's very simple to get $10,000, $20,000 worth of your personal spending that you're already spending and push that into the business legally so that if you're going to make, and I'll just use Uber as an example because that's a pretty easy one. It's pretty easy to get 10, 20 grand of tax-free income because of just pushing in enough of those deductions into your life. Again, obviously, if you're going to make hundreds of thousands, which is the goal, you're not going to be able to wipe it all out with just the basics of like the cell phone and all those things that are like in your home, like the home office. Like, you're unlocking all the simple things that you're probably cutting a check for anyway. And so I just wanted to say that last bit to remind everybody that the idea of being a business owner doesn't mean you have to be like a full-on entrepreneur and trying to build something to make millions or billions, because you could be a business owner pretty easily, because most things that'll require a little bit of work on your end that are going to generate a 1099 income, in the eyes of the IRS, that makes you self-employed and it unlocks a lot of those tax strategies that I talk about every week. So hopefully this is helpful. Hey guys, you have a great week out there. And as always, if this is helpful or you have questions, DM me, happy to answer, or we can hop on a call and see how my company can help you with tax advisory. All right, have a great day. Thank you for joining us this week on Build Your Wealth Muscle. The links mentioned in this episode are available in the show notes. For video clips and more information on tax and retirement strategies for fitness entrepreneurs, please follow my Instagram at ThePatDarby. If you found value in this episode, please do us a favor and share with a friend. If you tag me, that'd be appreciated also. Lastly, for help implementing any of the topics discussed, please book a call. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you again for listening and have a great day.